B-Pod Studios.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
This may feel strong, but you people are stupid.
OMG. It's Felger and Maz, 95 The Sports Hub.
Would you say, I mean, win or lose tomorrow, would you say he's shut the critics up?
Well, that's up to for them to decide. I mean, for you who have followed me, I've been honest with his play for 3 years I've been here, but I'm not a critic. I always believed he's one of the elite goalies in the league. I think when you win championships, it cements that. You know, that's part of your legacy. So clearly winning a championship at any, you know, those key positions, quarterback, you know, starting pitcher, you know, goaltender is a lot of times what defines you down the road. So, you know, he'll be ready to do it. Let's hope we're good in front of him. I have no worries about him tomorrow. You know, it's more about our team being ready to go and executing the way we need to.
Hour number two, Felger and Maserati, 3:06 in the afternoon, coming to you from Canal Street and our Star Market broadcast studio at the Boston Sports Grill. Got you covered up until 7 o'clock. There's Bruce Cassidy on Tuukka Rask. I'll tell you, this series is a litmus test of a couple different things. One is, can you win the way the Blues want to play anymore? When it's become a speed skill league and the Blues are still these sort of old school brutes, and does that still win? And hell, maybe the fact that they've gotten to Game 7 of the finals tells you that it does. They don't even have to win to prove that it can win. But, you know, the Cup certainly cinches that argument. And the other thing is, this is going to sound weird, but is elite goaltending overrated? In other words, there's no question who's the better goaltender in this series and who's played better in net. Mm-hmm. I mean, Rask has outplayed Binnington by a pretty wide margin.
Yeah, by a lot, yeah. And again, if you throw in Allen, the Blues' save percentage in the series is under 900, Mike. It's 898. Tuukka's 925.
And this series is dead even.
Yep.
And the Blues have, it's a coin flip tonight for the Stanley Cup championship, and they've done it without elite goaltending.
Correct.
So does that, you know, and this has been sort of the thing with Rask. It's really, a lot of the argument has been with his, you know, is he worth the money? And it's, maybe the question isn't Rask worth, is any goaltender worth the money?
Well, I mean, look, if they end up pulling this off tonight and they win, I think that ultimately, yes, because without the way that Rask has played, they didn't even get out of the first round against Toronto.
So my answer is no. Like, I don't think an elite goalie is worth the money.
I mean,
I don't. I mean, again, it's just that, and I know you've made this analogy before, talking about closers.
Right.
And you can find them in certain places. And again, I'm not telling you all the guys who've won cups in recent years are bums. But would you ever, I wouldn't call Corey Crawford elite, would you? He's good.
No, he was never elite.
I mean, he's good.
He put up some elite numbers, and he was good, but he was great. I mean, he was not great. He was never great.
Yeah, but think of what the rest of that team was. Same with
Pittsburgh. Exactly. But that's a point.
This is our point.
But, I mean, those teams were stacked, and the same with Pittsburgh, too. Their goalies that they won those cups with in recent years were
Middlers,
yeah.
This is our point.
Okay, but I don't know. This Bruins team has, I think, like four or five good pieces. The guys that we expected to be good, like Bergeron and Marchand in that top line, obviously underachieved. So you need to still occasionally have an elite goalie the way that Rask has played. I don't think it's...
No, you occasionally need an elite goalie the way Rask has played. You just said it. So do you have to pay $8 million, $7 million a year? Binnington makes $600,000.
Yeah, but he's a restricted free agent, and he's about to get paid.
Well, but that's not the point. The point is...
It's not essential.
It depends how your team is built.
Right, there's multiple ways to win.
So this is what I mean. If your team is so good like that Blackhawks team, or the Sidney Crosby teams, or your decor is so good like this Blues team, if I got Parayko, Pietrangelo, Bouwmeester, Dunn, guys like that, I'm not paying my goalie $7 million a year. I don't need to. I can just have a guy there who is steady and make the saves he should make, and I let the defenseman... So. It depends what kind of team you have, Murray. So,
those teams to me are almost like borderline all-star teams. Those Blackhawks.
Yes.
You know. So,
yes.
Yes.
But the point is that the point is that it's not essential, right? That's really the point. It's not essential. The idea is that do you have to have it? No. Clearly you don't. Again, you can make up for it in some ways. To me, that's really what the story is.
Just look at the series. Rask has outplayed Binnington by a wide margin. And the Blues are coin flip tonight to win the championship.
Yeah,
to
but
beat
if you got 10% of production out of your top line, this thing would already have been over like two games ago, I feel like.
Well, but now you're throwing in all sorts of different... I'm talking about purely the goaltending, Murray.
I mean, I think Binnington, though, is a great case because you look at him and you say... Through the first three rounds, he's been good enough. And this round, it feels like he got worse. So you can't overcome bad goaltending like that. You're not going to overcome that because that second goal the other night, the Carlo goal, I mean, that's just garbage. You can't let that puck in.
Well, and so look, hopefully it all catches up to St. Louis tonight that you just can't win. Your goaltender's got to be better than he's been, and it catches up to him tonight. I mean, that's entirely possible. That's entirely possible. I'm just telling you. Their goaltending has been mediocre, and yours, and I'm talking about this round especially, their goaltending has been good, not great. Your goaltending has been elite, and it's game seven, and it's a coin flip for the championship. I mean, I just think that's interesting. For everyone who said it's all about goaltending, it's all about goaltending, it's all about goaltending.
No, it's not.
It's really not. It's really not all about goaltending.
And look, the Blues have really been able to mitigate him, right? I mean, look at the games, some of the games they've won where you get 23 shots and none of them are
rebounds. Ask you this, honestly. Would you rather have Colton Parayko or Tuukka Rask?
Ooh, that's a tough one.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Rask. I'm going to be biased.
The next 5 years, would you rather have Charlie McAvoy or Tuukka Rask?
McAvoy.
Okay, I mean, this is sort of this is what I mean, and I just think this series has been sort of a case study of that. We got Eddie Olczyk of NBC Sports coming later this hour, so we got a little bit of a different schedule. We're going to break here and come back and take your phone, so don't go anywhere.
From the Star Market booth at the Boston Sports Grill, sponsored by Bud Light, Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub, and streaming on the Sports Hub app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
It's Felger and Mass from the Star Market booth at the Boston Sports Grill. The Stanley Cup Finals. The only place for the local call of the game. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Like I said the other day, I mean, if you could take this, you would take it any day of the week, right? I mean, we're in Game 7 of Stanley Cup Finals. You should be excited, and everybody is excited to go play. It's not really adversity. It's a great challenge and a great opportunity, one game. We'll go in, it'll be a regular routine, and nerves are nerves. Everybody's got nerves, and like I said before, it's okay to be nervous. It means you care, and you want to be successful and do well. Once you get on the ice and you have a shift or two, the nerves will go away and it's just playing hockey then. And, you know, the team that executes the best and does their job is probably going to win the game.
Right, there's the boogeyman himself, Craig Berube. I mean, folks like Murray and people around here really built this guy into something, man.
Freddy Krueger?
I mean, really. He's turned into, they've made him the boogeyman.
Well, yeah. Totally. Look, I mean, again, a lot of this goes back to his reputation and, you know, what have you. And I didn't love the whole comment about the officials after Game 3. It's like, all right, I just don't like the whining about the officiating either way. Just play.
Yeah, and then after Game 5, he sat there all smugly like, oh, I had no problem with the officiating after the no call on Achari. He's acted like a supervillain, and life's more interesting with enemies. So he's an enemy.
But I will say, if the Bruins played this way, we would love them for it. We would love them for it. Like, and in fact, they did play this way for a long period of time. And I always thought the Bruins took it too far. They were more interested in knocking guys through the glass and winning fights than they were in winning hockey games. So I like how the Bruins have evolved and developed. I like the speed hockey and skill hockey. I like all of that. So I kind of admire the Blues and what they've been able to accomplish and how they've gotten here.
Okay, we continue with your thoughts. Pete in Rosendale. Go ahead, Pete.
Hey, guys. Murray, I'm with you. I do not want this game to go to overtime and even be tight. You know, the Bruins really have yet to show us that they can win these tight games. Yes, they won game one, you know, but I'm throwing that one away. They had lost two tight games in this series so far, and I do not feel good about it. But at the end of the day, it's game seven. Strap on your diapers. Go Bees.
Okay. His comment line said, not confident in the Bees. Not confident in the Bees in a close game, in a close, low-scoring game. I mean, if it's a close, low-scoring game, who has the advantage?
The Blues.
The Blues do. But, again, if Rask is going to continue to play the way that he has, they can pull it off at home. And, like, it's not deep analysis. The one thing I refuse to believe that this Bruins team is going to lose three straight at home in this series. Well, three at home in this series.
Mullen over the line on the right wing, backhand to Torsen, and kicked out by Thomas, and he made a follow-up save on Giunta right in front. Drive and a glove save, Thomas. He reached back to his left to snare the drive from Subban. Puck loose for Steak, sending a quick shot, save Thomas on Richards. To the net, shot, save Thomas as he robbed Briere, who was in alone. Now Mark on reverse, run a long drive left side, blocked by Kemperly. Loose puck and a save, Thomas on Gagner, point blank. Ursel back the other way, a wrist shot, save Thomas to look behind him, and he's able to cover it.
To get 30-some shots and give the opponent only 20, usually should take that, but against this goaltender, you need more. You need miracles. He's making miracles. We have to come up with miracles.
Downey trying to put it into Thomas. Going back with a stick to keep it out.
Our top guys are doing everything they can. They're no different than the rest of the team. You know, we're still trying to figure out the Thomas enigma.
Now Giroux with it behind the cage. Quick centering pass and a save, Thomas, on Mazzaros. Here comes Burrows 3-on-2 with the Sedins. Daniel Sedin right side. A wrist shot on a stick save, Thomas. Here's Dennis Seidberg in front of the Bruin goal. Almost had his pocket picked by Henrik Sedin, who gloves it down, and he got shoved down by Thomas at the top of the crease.
One of the best hits of the night right there.
High slot, Cello.
There we go. Podium's coming.
Yep, Burrows and Thomas were swinging at each other.
That was like the third time that he'd hit my butt end on that power play in at 6-on-4, and I thought I'd give him a little love tap.
Kessler left side feeds it high slot. Mason Raymond going towards it, and a wrist shot on the save, Thomas. Raymond looking, snapped it on net. Stick save, Thomas on the rebound, turn away too, as Higgins had the chance.
When I sit here and say that I truly am focused on what I have to do on the ice, I'm not just making that up. That's where I try to put 100% of my focus.
I have a pretty good idea of how to play goalie. I'm not going to be taking suggestions or advice at this time. So I'm just going to keep playing the way I have.
Back comes Daniel Sedin over the blue line to the right side. Backhander to save Thomas. Thought he had the rebound covered, and he does. Burrows over the line right side. Plays it across to Daniel. Backhander! Save Thomas! And he reached behind him with a glove to make sure he had it.
I mean, the Stanley Cup is the biggest one. That's the one that you're shooting for. Conn Smythe is completely an honor. I just sat down here and I started to read some of the names on it. It's an honor to be mentioned in the same Maple Leaf. I got Patrick Waugh, Ron Hextall. Right there, there's Ken Dryden. Those are the three goalies that I can see just on this side facing me. It's amazing.
Marchand has it with an open net in front of him. Marchand, a rush shot, and he scores! Brad Marchand for the empty net goal and a 4-0 lead for the Bruins. The exit behind the Canucks net. Get the duck boats ready. After 39 long years, the cup is back home. The Bruins are 2011 Stanley Cup champions.
Zdeno Chara, it's my honor to present you with the Stanley Cup.
When he hoists the Stanley Cup, he really hoists the Stanley Cup.
The highest ever. It's height.
And if he wanted to keep it up there forever, nobody could take it away. Zdeno Chara and the Boston Bruins have the Stanley Cup.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Market booth at the Boston Sports Grill on Canal Street. Sponsored by Bud Light. It's Felger and Mass. It's the Stanley Cup Finals on 98.5, the Sports Hub. And streaming on the Sports Hub app.
All right, folks, welcome back on the radio side. Sorry, we've had some technical difficulties today. We dropped off here from the Boston Sports Grill, but we're back, and we'll make it up to you now with a big-time guest, Eddie Olchuk, who you will hear tonight on the NBC call of Game 7 Bruins Blues. He joins us now from the Boston Sports Grill and our Star Market broadcast booth. Eddie, thanks for taking
the
time.
Hi, guys. Nice to be with you.
You too.
Ordered up another beautiful day here in Boston, by the way.
That's it.
We don't get many of them.
Oh, well, that's what happens when you play hockey in June. That you get days like this. So what's it like from your perspective for a Game 7? Any different for you?
No, it's hard to relax because everybody's going to be watching. The numbers are going to be off the charts here. They are. I know they're going to be off the charts here in the New England area, the same in St. Louis. But there is that that adrenaline where you think about the grind of the season, the 120 games you do in the regular season, and then you get the Stanley Cup final, and all of a sudden now we got a Stanley Cup final. And the last time we had one, we were in Vancouver. So maybe that's a positive omen for the Bruins.
How do the players deal with it? Yeah. I mean, the pressure has got to be crazy. We were just talking to you off the air. You were on that Rangers team in 94 that went 7 with Vancouver and broke that drought. But how do the players deal with it on a day like today? What do they do?
You try to keep it as normal, Mike, and all the players have talked about it. I ran into Johnny Moore, who I know extremely well. I was lucky enough to coach him as a 15-year-old in Chicago. My son Tommy played with him, and I know Johnny really well. And, you know, I'm nervous, you know, which is okay. I mean, I told him, look, this is normal. This is normal. You want to be nervous. Like, this is why you get up all those mornings and your folks or your guardians take you to the rinks and you watch it on TV and you see guys like Ray Bourque lift that cup or Lanny McDonald or, you know, it takes you back. And then, you know, once you get to the rink, everything kind of just becomes a little bit more normal, and you know what's on the line. Everybody knows what's on the line. You just got to go out there and play, and you can't worry about what the clock says. You just got to go out there and play, and it is easier said than done, but that's, you know, that's kind of the advice. And
is there a little trick that you had, or you know, the players that had to deal with nerves? Didn't Bill Russell throw up before every
game?
Yeah,
he did. Yeah, he would.
I mean, there was a, you
know, in fact, Red Auerbach used to make sure that he puked before they left the locker room.
So, I mean, honestly,
yeah, really.
So, well, some guys would vomit.
Well, for me, I was the David Backus of 1994 for the New York Rangers. So I was,
which means you were.
I was a healthy scratch. Yeah, I was a healthy scratch. I played one game in the playoffs. I did play in the conference semifinals. Or the conference finals against the New Jersey Devils, game six. We were down 3-2 going to New Jersey, and that's the game that Mark Messier
guaranteed,
predicted,
right?
That we would win. Yeah, he guaranteed it. And probably the longest day of their life. I'm with you guys at the start. I think it was prior to game two, if I'm not mistaken, but I could be wrong. I thought that these two teams were very similar in a lot of ways, and I think it has played out that way. My opinion, I think the Blues have been a better team 5-on-5. The difference has been the specialty teams. PK has been great for the Bruins, and a couple of the games their power play has gotten them going, right? They had the big game, the 4 goals in St. Louis, and then the other night they got the big goal in the 5-on-3. So it's been an even series. I don't know what you guys thought, and I'm not here to defend Jordan Binnington. I didn't mind him the other night, to be honest with you. Like, the second goal, he was screened, and the thing was bouncing all around. And then the third goal was an absolutely perfect shot by Kuhlman. I mean, okay, maybe you could argue that one, but I think the goaltending has been fine for St. Louis. And I said to you guys, two congrats, I haven't seen him play better. So just to throw that up.
You mentioned the 5-on-5. Typically, Eddie, better 5-on-5 team wins these series and wins these games.
Right.
I mean, they do,
right?
If you go historically.
Sure.
And if I'm worried about the Bruins, that's the number one thing. They just have not established.
That's fair.
5-on-5.
I think the Krejci, Mike, I think the way that I brought up Krejci's name early in the game the other night, because he just seemed to me that the puck was finding him. He seemed like he found some energy, which he hadn't had. Ryan O'Reilly has played really well, but he won a series in round two, if I'm not mistaken, against Dallas, where he struggled. Like, he didn't have any energy. He wasn't the guy that you saw in the regular season in round one, and then in round three, he just seemed to hit a pothole there in that second round. And for Krejci, been relatively quiet. But I thought that was a great sign, I think, for the Bruins going into Game 7.
Eddie Olczyk here from NBC joining us from the Boston Sports Grill. Lots been made here in Boston about Craig Berube and sort of inciting his team to play a little more physically, maybe violently. There was a comment that he made the other day that I think has been misrepresented, but that, you know, my players weren't as physical in Game 6 because they feared suspension. Mm-hmm. And now that we're in Game 7, there is no suspension to worry about until next October. Right. So I think some Bruins fans, Eddie, are worried about the Blues going out there and headhunting and going back to that thing.
No, those days are done. They are.
You don't think the Blues have played a violent series, though?
Maybe what happened at the end of the game the other night. You know, you're down 4 or 5 goals. You got a chance to win the cup.
They've had 2 players suspended now.
No, I understand that. But, okay, I mean, the Barbashev on Johansson, I would say that was a borderline. Because, I mean, look, I'm calling out every shift of the game. I thought Johansson, when he got the puck, he just changed his level a bit. Look, could he have bypassed the hit? Yes. But it's the playoffs. I mean, you don't make contact on somebody in the playoffs. You're going to have your coach in your grill. The hit on Grizzlick, I'm standing fast, standing pat on what I thought. I thought Grizzlick put himself in a bad spot. Sundquist is going at a good rate of speed. The league saw it differently. That's fine. I saw it as a 2-minute penalty. That's it. So they play hard. They hit hard. They're not afraid to try to run you into the second or third row.
But you don't think they're out there to hurt you?
Absolutely not. No, no. You want to put a hurt on somebody, but I don't think the game has changed. I think these players know each other so well. There's a lot of respect. Look, at sometimes the situation gets the best of you, but absolutely not. I would hate to think that there's anybody out there trying to do harm to anybody. Look, if you knock somebody down and it's a hard hockey play, stuff happens.
So I want to go back to the whole notion of 5-on-5 versus special teams. Because as a player, or as a former player, do you go into a game like this and you say, we got to expect no power plays tonight, or we got to expect very few? Like, do you subscribe to the theory that the officials will put the whistles away, generally?
Great question, Maz. I would say today's player, much different than my era and the players that came before me. I would think that the way the game has been called is that there's a pretty darn good chance there's going to be a few penalties handed out tonight.
I
don't think they're going to let him play.
Really?
I don't. Now, to me, the worst thing is that if there's a hook in the first 4 minutes, it better be a hook in the last 4 minutes. Now, we saw what happened, of course, what happened here in Game 5, where Kelly Sutherland just froze and he kept the whistle in his pocket, and we all know what happened. But I think that players now understand that they just got to worry about the next shift and not worry about if the referee's going to call a penalty or whatever. Look, if I'm in the Blues locker room, I'm saying, look, I think this series changed for me for St. Louis's aspect, and I know what Craig Berube did publicly, but he told his team in particular, because I ran into him in St. Louis at the baseball game. I went to the Cubs-Cardinals game, and I ran into him, and I had about 10 minutes with him. And he read his team the riot act.
So you went to the Cardinals game too?
Yeah, that was there. Yeah. Friday and Sunday I was there, and my team got swept that weekend, so I wasn't the charm. But
anyway, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No. But Berube, he just said, look, enough of guys going to the blue paint like Maroon and Perron and bumping Tuukka Rask, right? That stopped from the Blues' point of view,
yeah.
Or at least I shouldn't say their point of view. Their actions since that time, when he pretty much said, okay, enough. And then they just ended up taking the two penalties the next game. One was a delay a game or got shot out into the crowd, and I think somebody got an interference call. So I think Maz, long-winded. I think players understand the situation. I don't think they really worry about the referees, but I think that they know there's going to be a call or two made in the game, and the referees aren't afraid to go ahead and let them play for a bit. But if it's a penalty, they're going to call it. So you... No stuff after whistles. Whistle the whistle, that's the message.
It sounds like you think Krejci could break through for the Bruins tonight. Who on the Blues side has been quiet that you think could?
Oh, wow. I know Craig Berube talked to Patrick Maroon yesterday. He had a talk with him. We got a chance to meet with him today. You know, he's a guy that goes to the blue paint. He's had some big games. He scored the big goal in round two against St. Louis, the overtime winner against Dallas. You know, he might be a guy that, look, I mean, he's a St. Louis guy. He's got an opportunity to, I mean, think about it. I mean, to live a dream. And I know, obviously, the Bruins have some guys like that as well. You know, a guy like Maroon. I think Alex Pietrangelo has had a hell of a series, too, on the back end. When the Blues are going, their defensemen are involved a lot. And I think we talked about it when I was on with you guys at the start of the series. The matchups have been Bouwmeester and Parayko against the Marchand line. Those guys are more defending instead of worrying about the offense. So I think that opens up a lot of opportunity for Alex Pietrangelo. So I know he had a couple of apples in Game 5. I think he might be a guy that maybe flies under the radar that could have a big game, because I think if the Blues win tonight, I guarantee a defenseman will be right in the middle of something good offensively for them, because that's how they've had success all year.
Eddie Olczyk, NBC. You'll hear him on the call again tonight. Eddie, Matt Grizzlick, apparently he's coming back into the lineup here after a week off.
Right.
My one issue with it is Bruce Cassidy's been so adamant about having left shot, right
sure,
shot,
right,
you know, really
right.
Having guys on their strong side. Apparently, it's Clifton that's going to come out, so he's going to have two left shots on that third pair.
Right.
Which tells me he must really want Grizzlick in there, or I don't know. Your thoughts about Grizzlick coming back after a week off and that whole dynamic?
I'm not a big fan of changing lineups after success, but you look at the experience of Grizzlick. Clifton has played very well. I mean, you guys know he's shot up the depth charts here. I mean, he shot out of a cannon, right? I mean, he wasn't on the radar. He wasn't on the radar at the start of the year, so it's been very impressive. What that tells me, Mike, is you're going to see McAvoy and Carlo doing a lot of double duty of probably rotating Grizzlick and Johnny Moore on that third set. That's probably what it would tell me.
Interesting, yeah.
Depending on, is there a TV timeout coming? Are we just coming off a power play? Are we just coming off a penalty kill? So I think that aspect of it is, you know, those right-handed guys are going to get
probably what happened in Game 6.
That's the answer.
Yeah.
He's not going to have two left shots.
No, which is really...
I mean, he will sometimes because, I mean, you're going to have to, right?
Yeah.
Depending on the situation. But I think that that's where I think Butchie's probably looking at and going, you know what, I'm going to go... You know, Carlo McAvoy, if McAvoy's going to be, you know, somewhere in that 28 to 29 range, and if I can get Carlo in that 25 or 26, that means I'm probably only going to have Moore and Grizzlick out there together, maybe for, you know, maybe 4 or 5 minutes of the game. And if you can do that against whatever the matchup they think is advantageous, then that's what you do.
Okay, Eddie, final question. Last time you were here in a spot like this, it was game 6 of the Stanley Cup Finals versus the Blackhawks. You were on that crew, right?
Yes, yeah.
Game 6, Tuukka Rask lets it slip away in the last minute and a half. For the last 6 years here, Eddie, all Tuukka Rask has had to hear about for the last 6 years is, you didn't win the big one. You can't win the big one. Tim Thomas would have won that one. Tim Thomas would have saved that one. You're not Tim Thomas. You'll never be Tim Thomas. Tim Thomas won. Tim Thomas had the balls. You did it. Tim Thomas this. Tim Thomas that. Tim Thomas that. You know who's going to be waving the flag tonight pregame? Who they found in his cabin in Idaho and are bringing back tonight?
No way.
Tim Thomas.
Are they
really? Found him.
The Unabomber.
They found him. And they. Ted Kaczynski's going to be in the building. They tracked him down.
Wow.
And there's
and
Tim.
And said yes.
I guess he said yes. That's a report.
Crazy.
So, which is a great story.
Yeah.
Murray, for example, is worried about that messing with Rask's head.
I just think karmically, like, this postseason's been all about Rask, and you bring the one guy he's had to hear about all these years back into the building.
If they don't get the job done, I don't think he'll have anything to do with the flag waiver or whatever. I said it to you guys. I have not seen the guy play better, and I would expect him to have a big performance. Look, has he given up some soft goals? Very few.
Not this
very
series.
Very few. Yeah, yeah. In the playoffs in general, Mike, very few. I have the utmost confidence in Tuukka Rask to get the job done. And like I said, I thought Bennington was fine the other night. Some people don't agree with that. That's okay. I expect him to have a big game as well.
The Bruins have the clearer edge in net? No, you're...
I mean, in a game 7, I've seen enough hockey where I sit there and go, man, team gets one goal, and all of a sudden, you know, you start feeling like you're King Kong or whatever. Oh, going in, yes, I still believe that Tuukka Rask is the guy. But as you guys know, it's
one game.
Flipping game. That's it. It's one game. And you just never know when a guy could look it. Could it be a 1-0 final for the visitor? Absolutely it could be. It could be that type of game. I don't think so. I see a 3-1 game somewhere with about 5 or 6 minutes left to go, and coach pulls the goaltender, you get a couple of empty netters, you make a lot of people happy who think the total is going to go over that number.
Eddie, thanks so much for coming by.
Always great to see you guys.
Okay, spoken man, like a true handicapper.
So Eddie Olczyk, catch him tonight on the NBC broadcast, and we'll take a quick break and we'll come right back here from the Boston Sports Grill.
It's Felger and Mass, the Boston Sports Grill from the Star Market Booth, sponsored by Bud Light on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Felger here for 20
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It's the Stanley Cup Finals, and we're at the Boston Sports Grill from the Star Market Booth, sponsored by Bud Light. It's Felger and Mass on the only place for the local call of the game, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Not overly. I think our guys are good right now. It's a lot different at puck drop, obviously, when there's, you know, the energy in the building. But we've had guys that have been through it. That'll help. But I think it's natural to have some level of nerves. It's just human nature. But let's hope we get through them in a hurry. You know, warm up will hopefully quell some of that. You know, once the puck drops, hopefully we're right back into, you know, hockey mode, playing mode, focus, details, execution. The quicker we get to that part of it, the better off we'll be.
All right, Bruce Cassidy on the nerves involved in tonight. Again, we've had a little technical difficulty here dropping in and out. We are back, and we're, as promised, back to taking your phones. Joe and Revere, you're up next with Felger Maz. What do you got for us, Joe?
Hey, guys. First of all, get rid of the waters and grab some drinks. Second of all, half the Bruins fans for the past 5-6 years thought that Tim Thomas was dead. I'd rather see Stamkos and Ovechkin waving the flag because they got more relevance for why the reason, you know, the Bruins are here right now. And my third point and my final point is the one that matters. Who shows up tonight? Is it District 5 or the Mighty Ducks? Because that's been the Bruins' MO all season. You never know which team we're going to get.
I don't agree with that. I think they've been a pretty consistent outfit.
No, I would say, really, the number of stinkers that they've had, you can count on one hand.
What team has he been watching?
I have no idea. Right, I honestly have no clue.
We've talked about it for months and months ago. They're the anti-Thursday night wet fart Claude game. You know, like you never really got that with this team.
I mean, they've had a few nights here where they've disappointed, where they've gotten outplayed, but have they ever not shown up?
No. The one game that really bothered me in the postseason was Game 5 against Toronto, if you remember
here,
that one.
Yeah, sure.
So that was a hard one to swallow. But other than that, when the Blues have beaten them, honestly, I think the Blues have just taken the game to them and knocked them out of, knocked them out of the rink. Like, I think the Bruins will show up, but the style of game will be dictated by the more aggressive team.
John's calling us from St. Louis. Go ahead, John.
Hello.
Yes, you're on the air, John. Please go.
I'm on the air?
Yes.
Hey, how are you guys doing today?
We're fine, John. What do you got? I'm going to let you go. See ya. Goodbye. No time for pleasantries, okay? Tom in the car. Go ahead, Tom, on Tim Thomas.
Yeah, you know what, guys? I don't like it at all. I mean, if there's one person you don't want to play with his head, it's Tuukka Rask. And I'll tell you where it could potentially hurt him. It's not that he's going to be intimidated, okay? The reason why he's been playing in the zone is his emotionally he's been playing flatline. He's been focused on the puck. He's staying relaxed. He's doing what he needs to do. Now you're introducing an inner dialogue that he's going to have to deal with it. He had to deal with it when he heard Thomas was going to wave the flag, and he's going to deal with it when the crowd is going nuts. And where it's going to hurt him is he'll actually try to get too amped up. Oh, they love Tim Thomas. Listen to them cheer. Oh, someday they're going to cheer for me like that. Oh, I could do it. I'm going to be talked about like Tim Thomas.
I agree with
Jampa for a different reason. I think it's the worst thing they could have done with a goalie is play with their emotions on the night of the seventh game. Stupid, stupid, stupid.
Okay, Tom, good call. I don't agree with you. If Rask is that fragile, then you're porked either way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if he's really going to get spooked by Tim Thomas in the crowd, then he's not as dialed in as we think.
It's just, why mess with karma? I don't know. The closer we get, the more I don't like it.
It doesn't bother me at all. And frankly, I'm not worried about Tuukka being rattled. Have you heard him after some of these games?
Oh, he's been freaking a cyborg.
And I mean, like, literally sometimes coming off the ice. Like, I'm not talking about 30 minutes later. He's unflappable.
Yeah.
Just about everything, guys have run into him. The other goalie has bumped him. Like, there's been all, and he doesn't. He doesn't seem to get off kilter one way or the other. Whatever he's doing to get where he is right now, whether it's weed or what, I don't know. And I'm just, I'm being a wise ass.
Yeah, no, he's smoking a bunch of pot.
But I have no idea what it is. I'm just telling you that.
He's zen. He is very
true. He is locked in.
So if he's zen, how does Tim Thomas take him out of his zen state?
Because, Mike, I'm looking for anything to make me more nervous. Any bad sign. That's what this kind of day it's been. I walk into the bar here, and they're nice enough to have us, and they're already playing We Are the Champions by Queen, and
No, turn that off.
Right.
Did you tell them to turn that off?
No, it just, who am I going to yell at? It was an empty bar.
Find someone. That's inexcusable.
Thank you. See, it's things like this. And then, okay, on the one hand, it's great to have Tim Thomas back. They found him after all these years in whatever bunker he's been in Idaho.
What a great story.
Why mess with the karma of what's going on with Tuukka Rask when the postseason's been all about Tuukka Rask?
What a great story. They found Tim Thomas, and he agreed to come back, finally. He's buried his crap at least for a night.
He's put
it to the side, which for him is no small deal because he...
Or maybe he knows the mental fragility of Tuukka Rask. Again, the beef has been with the team, and this is his last jab. So, oh, I'll come back.
When you say when you say he's buried his crap, I'm going to bet that there's stuff buried around whatever cabin.
No question. But he should, for a night, put whatever you got to the side. Your problems with the team, with the world, with the government, with whatever. Whatever you got going on. This is, you spent your life playing this sport, dedicating yourself to this sport, and you won a championship with an all-time performance and an all-time run, and you are and should be an iconic, all-time, revered athlete in this town. And this is a moment for you to come and just be a part of that. Come and be a part of that.
Well, look, and even Eddie Olczyk said it from NBC when we had him here, like, he accepted. That's the surprising part of it, because the understanding was that the Bruins had made an effort and they had tried to bring him in for game one when they had the 2011 team here and Seidenberg and all those guys, but he had said no. Now, yes, like that's a good sign actually for the health of the relationship between the player and the team. And what it is, it's an awesome story. It's an awesome story.
It could just be a Trojan horse ploy.
Anthony in Medford, what do you got, Anthony?
Hi, Mike. Mike, I'm glad they're playing Grzelcyk. I mentioned last week that I thought they'd put him in, but I was afraid because Connor Clifton is a right shot defenseman, they wouldn't do it. But another thing, Bergeron, he's got to be hurt, Mike. There's no way. He's only winning 30% of the draws. He ain't a minus player. But I hope even though he's hurt, he can come back and have a good game seven. And I think you mentioned, Mike, that you thought that you'd be better off playing in St. Louis instead of the Garden. Did you say that?
Yeah.
No, but from the St. Louis perspective, I have confidence, Mike, that the Bruins, if they get down 1-0, they could still come back. But if the St. Louis gets down and that Garden's rocking, I just don't think they can come down back 1-0 or 2-0.
We'll see. They're both great road teams. I'm Grzelcyk. Apparently Grzelcyk's back in the lineup tonight after a week off. Is it a week or even more?
More.
It was a week and a half or something.
Yeah.
What game did
game
he get
two.
Hurt? Game two, so yeah.
It's been five games, and it's got more than two, more than one day in. But it's been closer to 2 weeks.
It's been a week and a half he's been out, which doesn't bother me. He's another little guy that could get hurt. Doesn't bother me. He's more prone to a concussion because he's coming off of one. That doesn't bother me. The only thing that bothered me was that he's a left shot, and apparently they're taking Clifton out and keeping John Moore in, and those are both left shots. And I said this to open up the show. It's like Bruce Cassidy has tried so hard, and he believes so strongly in the left shot, right shot thing. Of having those defensemen on their strong side. And he's tried so hard to stick with that. And he has. Whenever a defenseman got hurt, if whether he was a left shot or right shot, that's who came into the lineup. When Grzelcyk got hurt, the reason it's John Moore and not Steve Kampfer is because he's a left shot. So now in this game, they're going to go with two left shots on that third pairing. And Eddie Olczyk.
Nailed it.
Gave it to us right. That won't be the pairing. They're going to double shift McAvoy and Carlo, and they're going to be the right shot next to Grzelcyk in offensive situations or the right shot next to Moore in more defensive situations.
Which is effectively what they did in the last game. I mean, Clifton played, 10 minutes in that game? Might have been less.
I think it was less.
Right. Meanwhile, Moore played, I think it was 16, 17 minutes. So you look at that and say, well, who the hell was on the ice with Moore? And the answer is Carlo and McAvoy. They did. They dropped those guys down and played them more. And I think that's exactly what's going to happen. So there'll be time. I'm glad that it's Moore that's staying in also. I think he's been good, really. Again, for all the criticism and joking we've done about the five-year contract and then picking him up, I think he's been a valuable depth guy.
So we continue with your thoughts. We got you covered right up until 7 o'clock and the beginning of the pregame show. We are at our Star Market broadcast booth at the Boston Sports Grill, the Fan Fest on Canal Street. 7 o'clock, the pregame, right after 8. The local call of Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final with Surratt and Beers. We got you covered all the way through the rest of the day. We'll get back to your phones after Murray's 90-second update. There are no commercials. The question I'll ask you is, if you're the Bruins, who are you looking for tonight? Other than the goalies. Take out the goalies. That's the easiest one. Or, that's just that. Those go without saying. If you're the Bruins, who are you looking for tonight? And if you're the Blues, who are you looking for tonight? If you're the Bruins, who are you afraid of on the Blues? All right, we'll reset those questions right after Murray's update again. No spots.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.